Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Yes, he is a father. You know, he knows how to take care of his children. But when you see men come in and you see them just looking lost and without hope, you see them come into our men's home, our Victory Outreach home, and you say, wow, wait a minute, is this guy going to make it? But you see how he grows, and you see how he takes care of his family through the ups and through the downs, and he keeps it real. So right now, I want to introduce to you Brother Andy. He's going to come and share the word of the Lord with us this morning.
Am I to grow spiritually, but not physically, amen? Thank you. Weren't the kids amazing? You know what? I thank God for the children's ministry in this church. I used to sit there before God restored my family, and I thought, I'm going to see my children up there one day. And today, I see my son up here. Praise God. He come home from children's chapel the other Sunday. And, you know, he's an active kid, Mason. He's got a lot of energy. And I got a little bit angry with him. And he said, Dad, you need to exercise some self-control. They've been doing the fruits of the Spirit, haven't they? And I was like, oh, right. I bet. Yeah, I just want to give thanks this morning to Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. You know, you're a great example of a man and woman of God. And I truly thank God for your lives. You know, you've trusted me. You've trusted me in your home, which was a miracle. But now you're trusting me up here, which is an even bigger miracle. So, you know, I really thank God for your lives. So Father's Day, I mean, wow, what a privilege it is to be a father. I mean, you know, we get gifts on Father's Day. And I was 40 on my last birthday. And, you know, I used to give my dad socks. And this year, I got socks. I think it says, like, the world's greatest father or something like that. So I can only wear them once a year. But, yeah, it says it's a privilege to be up here. And I want to open up with a scripture today. It's Psalm 68, verse 4 and 6. If you turn to that, turn to Psalm 68, verse 4 and 6 in your Bibles. And the word of God reads, sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. But he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your heart to each and every one of us as your children, Lord God. We thank you for changing and transforming us each and every day, making us bigger and better people in your eyes, Father, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you will speak to each and every one of our hearts this morning. We love you, we honor you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I got the privilege of ringing my dad and wishing him a happy Father's Day. 4 years ago, I wasn't even speaking to my dad. I didn't even have his phone number. And if I did have his phone number, to rang him, he'd have probably put the phone down on me. But this is thanks to God, because how many know we serve a God of restoration? And he is our Father, and he loves us dearly. In verse four, it says, sing praises to God and to his name. How many know that God is worthy to be praised? I cannot help but sing praises to God. When I look back at where I've come from and where God has brought me to and look forward to where God has taken me, wow, I cannot help but sing praises to his holy name. He's just done amazing things in my life. And as this week went on, I found out I was speaking. I was told 5 minutes of fire. And then Pastor Kevin told me 10 minutes this morning, so I just thought I'll have to speak a bit slower. But I didn't. I just expanded on my message, and I thought, you know what? It's not hard to talk about the goodness of God for 10 minutes and the heart of the Father. In fact, I could stand here all day and testify to His goodness. God is so good. In verse 5, it says, He's a father to the fatherless. And like I just said, you know, 4 years ago, my father, my earthly father, our relationship was destroyed. I'd not just destroyed that relationship, I destroyed every other relationship in my life. It was like I just didn't know how to relate to people without destroying them, destroying myself, destroying relationships. But when I came to Victory Outreach, I really started to embrace the love of the Father. God was the Father to me then, and my relationship started to build with Him. But it was amazing because as my relationship started to build with God, my relationship started to build with my family as well. It was like family members were just ringing me up from nowhere and wishing me well, and like nothing had ever happened in the past. And that is our God. But He gave me examples of fathers around me, Pastor Paul, Pastor Kevin. I see these men of God. They're raising the children in the way of the Lord. They get up, they pray. They don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk. I see Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky open their doors to eat anybody that comes and knocks on it, and they'll feed you and they accept you in. I see them walking the walk. They don't just talk the talk. And we've got these people in our church, and I thank God for amazing leaders and examples of men and women of God going before us. And that's it. He placed me in a family. I'd lost my physical family, but He placed me in a spiritual family. You know what? I was a misfit in the world. I didn't feel like I fitted in anywhere. I was strange, I felt weird, I didn't feel accepted, I felt rejected. But once I started to feel the acceptance of God, and He did that through people, I started to feel the acceptance of God through men and women of God. And when I started to feel the acceptance of them, I started to become whole and complete in myself. I started to accept myself. I started to love myself. And the Bible says, love others as you love yourself. Now, I had a big problem. I didn't love myself, so I couldn't love others. But when I started to love myself, then I was able to start to love others. And I thank God for that. This is the thing, you see, I can keep on thanking God because He is a God of goodness. His heart towards His children is so amazing. The revelation of God's love, if you haven't got the revelation of the heart of the Father today, I pray that you will receive it because it will change and transform your life forevermore. So He placed me in this family, and through this, He started to teach me and show me a new way through the men and women of God around me. And then came God's restoration. I had stole from my children. I was a selfish, selfish man. But God changed and transformed me. And then when He prepared me for what He had in store for me, He started to restore my children. Like my son stood there today. It was such a blessing. But it's all thanks to God. Without God, that none of this would be true. I wouldn't even maybe be alive. You know, I said before that today I got the privilege of ringing my dad. 4 years ago, it looked like my destiny was going to be dying with never speaking to my dad again. But thank God, He came to give us life and life abundantly. And He is a God of restoration. Zechariah 10, 6 and 7, it says, I will strengthen Judah and save Israel. I will restore them because of my compassion. It will be as though I had never rejected them, for I am the Lord their God, who will hear their cries. The people of Israel will become like mighty warriors, and their hearts will be made happy as if by wine. Their children too will see it and be glad. Their hearts will rejoice in the Lord. Now you see, this is the heart of our Father. He is a God of compassion. He is a God of restoration. He is a God that wants to bring joy to our lives. And how many know that children, you know, they are a challenge. You know, can anybody say amen? Amen. Children are a challenge, but the blessings outweigh the challenges every single time. Every single time. Like now, God has blessed me with another son, Hezekiah. And it's like, wow, God, you entrust me with another child. God has given me another chance to do it again. But I've got God as my heavenly Father teaching me every step of the way how to bring up my children. You see, I was like a blind man leading the blind before. I was leading my children down a dark and dangerous path. They were seeing me as a drug dealer, selling drugs, destroying lives, destroying my life, destroying my marriage, treating my wife like dirt. But now, God has turned it all around on its head. Matthew 14:15 says, if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. And that's where we were heading. But God has turned it all around. He's transformed my life. And now my children are heading on a different path. My daughter, she comes and stays with me every other weekend. She's seen a lot. She's 15 now. Thank God she's doing well. But last weekend she came. And I've been praying and praying and praying. I've seen that God's softening her heart. And she looked at me, and I've seen a daughter looking at a father with adoration. And you know what? That is something that has not been there, but that is just amazing. And it's all glory to God. We serve a God of restoration. No one can do it like God can. You see, I tried to be a father in my own strength. I was brought up, I come from a broken, my mum and dad, you know, they had a broken marriage, my dad didn't live with us, and that's what I had as my example, and I was determined that I was going to do a better job, you know, I was going to love my children, I was going to be a better husband, and all this kind of stuff, but I didn't have Jesus, I didn't have God to teach me, I didn't have great examples surrounding me, and I failed miserably. No matter how much I tried in my own strength, I couldn't do it. But once I came to the Lord and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that's when things started to change. Because you know what? It doesn't matter how tough it gets. Brother Raph spoke earlier this morning, you know, sometimes as men, we don't want to go through the challenge. We want to go around it. I mean, I never even wanted to go around it. I just wanted to run off from it. And that's what I did. I ran. But now I know that I can go through every single challenge that comes before me. Because God is with me and he will never leave me nor forsake me. So now I get up in the morning and Mason sees me praying. And he'll see me crying in prayer. Crying for the lost, crying for the broken. And he'll come and he'll say, Dad, why are you crying? And I'll tell him, because I love Jesus. And that the heart of God is to see his people saved and restored. And when you know that heart, you cannot help but cry when you're in prayer because God is a God of compassion. He wants to see the lost saved. Amen. And I'm so grateful. There's tears of gratitude rolling down my face in prayer in the morning. And I'm just so in love with Jesus. Amen. Mason sees that. He loves it. If I even tried to go to put Mason to bed without praying for him, he will tear the house down. If I try and take Mason to bed without reading his Bible for him, it's just not happening because he sees me doing it and he wants to be the same. And I just thank God that I can be that example now and I can be a godly leader. He sees me helping people in need. You know, he doesn't just see me praying and read me Bible. He sees me walking it out as well. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the household of faith. Now, if I see somebody in need, if I will do anything I can to help that person. If somebody needs a lift home, then I'm going to go out of my way. If I don't get home till 10 o'clock at night, then praise God that I've been able to help another believer. And God sees it. I mean, Mason sees it. Mason sees me doing these things. And now he can follow me as his father, a godly example. But I've only got to give God thanks for this. Amen. Father, Lord, I just thank you for the amazing things that you're doing in my life, Lord. And Lord, if I testified all day, I wouldn't have enough time to testify of your goodness. But Lord, I just pray that you would move in our hearts and minds, Lord, today, and just keep on moving us forward as your children, that we would be an example to our children, Lord. We love you, we honor you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good job, man. Praise the Lord, man. He did a good job, huh? And he does a good job as a dad. Amen. He's a good dad. Praise the Lord. You know, it's not easy being a father. One time, I've got a good dad. He was there the other night. He's a great person, great man. And one day I said to him, because how many of you know when you're growing up, your dad always gives you stuff, right? Dad's always there. If you've got a dad, you know, some people haven't had a dad, but my dad was always there giving stuff. So it got to the point where I became a man and I was able to give something back. And so one day I gave him £100. It was a big lot of money for me. I said, Dad, I said, I want you to go out and buy something that's going to make your life much easier for yourself. So he went out and bought me mum a dress. Because it's not easy being a dad. But dads are important. There's a story in a Spanish newspaper. I was going through different things. This is actually happened. And there was a story that was in the newspaper in Spain of a father and a son who'd become separated. They'd become estranged. The son ran away. The father set off to find him, and he searched for months, but he couldn't find him. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, he put an ad in a newspaper, one of the main newspapers in Madrid, in Spain. And all it said was, Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. He turned up on Saturday at that time, and there were 800 people called Paco standing there looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. That's heavy, huh? Such a powerful thing, being a dad. I read this from a woman. She said, I had a son, and he was about to become a dad, and she'd split up from the father many years ago. She said, since he had no recollection of his own father, there was a question that was hanging there of what do I tell him a father does? She says this, she said her dad died in her 9th year and she too was raised by her mother. What do fathers do became a question that she had to think about. As far as I could observe, she said, they brought around a car when it rained so everyone else could stay dry. They always took the family pictures, which is why they were never in them. They carved the turkeys at Christmas. They kept fuel in the car. They weren't afraid to go down into the cellar or up in the loft. They mowed the lawn. They tightened the clothesline to keep it from sagging. And that's about all. She said it wasn't until she had children that she was able to observe what a father had contributed to a child's life. What did he do to deserve the children's respect? Now, it was a complicated situation, but this is what she came up with. He rarely fed them. He didn't do anything about their nappies. It was always, where's mummy when the nappy was ready to be? That's mum's job. How many of you know it is? Mum's job to change the nappies. Amen. Dad puts the bins out, mum changes the nappies, right or wrong? No. Praise the Lord. I've changed so many nappies, my goodness, not even my kids either. Some of you. Praise the Lord. Huh? What did the father do? Some of you know sometimes with kids, You know, the mum knows every single bit of their homework. When their holiday stuff is done, she writes their names on their jumpers. Are you with me? Their shirts have got tags. She knows all the teachers' names. She knows what grade they got, right? The dad don't even know what year they're in. What year are you in again? Huh? What did dads do? This is what she wrote. The dad throws them higher than his head until they're weak from laughter. He casts the deciding vote on the puppy debate. It's always down to the dad, huh? He listens more than he talks. He lets his children make mistakes and loves them anyway. He allows them to fall from their first bike without having a heart attack. Because how many of you know, Vicky couldn't do that. I got my son a bike just recently. He hasn't rode for a while. His bike went missing. I got him a bike, and the first thing I did was I rode on it. Because that's what dads do, right? I rode on the bike. And I remembered, it's just like riding a bike. And that's what I said to him till he got on and fell straight off into the neighbor's car. So then he got on again. And he'd forgotten how to ride the bike because he hadn't ridden for a long time. And then eventually he got on, fell off. Vicky had to go in. She said, I can't watch. There's cars on the street, it's dangerous. But eventually I even let him fall into a nettle bush. And he got all covered in nettles. It wasn't that I actually just let him fall in, but he just fell in. Amen. And when he got out of the bush, I made him get back on the bike and ride the bike. I got a dock leaf. Rubbed a dock leaf on him. Amen. Get on with it, son. And he struggled a little bit. When I got in, Vicky had him covered in Sudocrem, laid up on the couch. Oh, I don't want this bike no more. I don't sack it. He said, sack it. I said, you better get on that bike. I've paid for that bike. You're going to ride that bike. You're going to get on that bike. You don't ever give up. You get back on that bike. You ride that bike. Fathers are different than mothers in that respect. Huh? The father read the newspaper while they were taking their first ever car ride. If she says, if I had to tell someone's son what a father really does that's important, it would be that he shows up for his job in good times and bad times. He's someone who constantly is being observed by his children. They learn from him how to handle adversity, anger, disappointment, and success. He won't mock or laugh at their dreams, no matter how impossible they may seem. He'll get out of bed and get in the car at 1 o'clock in the morning when one of his kids runs out of petrol or can't get home. He'll make unpopular decisions and stand by them. When he's wrong and he makes a mistake, he'll admit it. Unlike the woman. Right or wrong? See, you won't even admit that. I'm just messing. Huh? He sets the tone for how family members treat one another, how they treat members of the opposite sex, and people who are different than they are. That's the dad's job in many cases. By example, he can instill a desire to give something back to the community when he feels that his needs are greater than theirs. But mostly, a good father involves himself in his kids' lives. The more responsibility he has for a child, the harder it's going to be for him to ever walk out of its life. A father has the potential to be a powerful force in the life of a child. So grab it. You know, it's very, very important the role that fathers play. Today, there's so much pressure on men. Society wants us to either be tame, emasculated, that we lose our position and our role in society. that we just are compliant, that we can't stand up for meat eating and football matches, that we can't be men. Then on the other extreme, there's this mad concept that a man has to be wild to be respected. So you've got two extremes. You've got the tame man on one hand, the man that never says anything, never stands up for anything, and just buckles under every single thing. Or on the other hand, there's the wild man that fights and drinks and sleeps around and does what he wants and doesn't take responsibility. But in the middle somewhere is the man that God wants us to be. And it's not a tame man and it's not a wild man. It's a trained man. And to be a father, it's not an easy thing. There are some things that you need to learn. I don't know about you, but I've had to learn some stuff since I became a dad. I was frightened of becoming a dad. Not because, the reason I was frightened about becoming a dad is because I'd never been one before. And I didn't know what to do. I looked at my father, and I was fortunate to have a father that was a good father. He was there, but he worked all the time. He was always gone. But he was good. He was solid. I didn't know if I could do that. Are you with me? And so I needed to be trained. I want to give you five quick things that will help you in your fathering. Is that all right? I'm talking to the men. Women, you can listen, and you can help me out by saying amen, if I'm doing it right, okay? Firstly, a good father learns from the best father. Now, that don't mean sometimes we get into competition with each other because we're men. I mean, if you know, men like to compete, especially Pastor James. Pastor James, you know, if his nose runs, he wants to beat it. Unbelievable. Competitiveness. And sometimes we want to compete. So if one dad, you know, you see one dad, you never want to, if they're doing good, you never want to show that you're not doing as good. Because that's men. That's one of the wrong things about men, is that we always want to compete against each other. It's okay in certain situations, but not when you're learning, not when you need to learn something. When you need to learn something, if you don't know it, then you ask someone that does. Can someone say amen? Amen. Right? And sometimes we haven't got an example of a father that has gone before us that was a good example. This is Victory Outreach. We're a church that reaches out to people that haven't lived squeaky clean lives for the most part. Now, you might have come into this place and you might be squeaky clean. Amen. In fact, I heard one of you walk in earlier. But they're few and far between. Mostly we have people that come from all different backgrounds, all different places. And sometimes fathers have not been evident in people's lives. Am I in the right place? But that's where Heavenly Father comes in. Good Father. God the Father. He's perfect. He loves. He cares. He's strong. He's powerful. But he's sensitive. Amen. Then also there's other fathers around that are there for you. Not to compete with you, but to help you out. Learn. Amen. Learn. Second thing is that good fathers are physically present. Sometimes we think that fathers have to provide, so you have to be out at work all the time. But the thing is, and then what they'll do is they'll come back and they'll throw money at the situation, thinking, well, I'm providing.